Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Morning, Sergey. Let's take a look into the emerging market bonds. Foreign holdings in emerging market bonds are on the decline. Countries like Malaysia is on the largest decline in a year. Where do you think these funds are going to?
Good morning. Well, I wouldn't read too much into the one number of decline in holdings in Malaysian bonds. Actually, Malaysian government bonds have been very popular with foreign investors, as this is one of the most attractive markets in the region together with Indonesia. So due to the relatively high yield that is offered by Malaysian government bonds and obviously the rate cuts that have been taking place by the central bank. Where the funds are going to look, there are other opportunities obviously within the wider emerging market bonds. Perhaps some people are switching to higher yielding assets such as Brazil, Russia, countries like Turkey or even South Africa. But I wouldn't worry too much about it, as I said, just one number.
Some of the countries that you mentioned, including Brazil and South Africa, have issues with their geopolitical status. Considering this as the backdrop, are there any rising risk premiums that worry you that is associated with the emerging markets currently?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are always risks within emerging markets or any other market for that matter, to be honest. So at this stage, we've seen actually more risks coming from the developed world because we do have deteriorating geopolitical situation, certainly in Europe with the things like Brexit, Italian referendum, and upcoming elections in France and Germany, the ongoing protectionism, which is, coming through in the Western world. Obviously, the U.S. presidential elections, where Donald Trump has been quite vocal against, the current trading agreements that the U.S. has with other countries. So, yeah, these are some of the risks. Within emerging markets, though, I wouldn't say the risks are uniform. So countries like Brazil that you mentioned, we think that what has happened in the countries has actually been very positive. And we've seen the new government of President Temer actually doing a significant number of reforms in the very short period of time and able to pass these through the parliament. So, in fact, within the emerging markets, certainly in Latin America, the political situation has actually been improving.
Moody's Investor Services yesterday considered that issuance levels for the bonds will be in line with historical levels and may approach even the $28 billion mark for this year. Do you think that some attractive emerging markets have a lower risk premium outlook that these type of funds may be typically attracted to?
Well, I think there are two things that are driving inflows into the emerging market bonds. Clearly, on one side, emerging market debt is a relatively high-yielding asset class. And if you look at the universe in general, the levels of yields these days that investors can access, certainly in the developed markets, are extremely low, if not negative. So obviously, investors are forced to some extent to look beyond the traditional U.S., European, Japanese markets to actually get some yield. But also on the other hand, within the emerging market space itself, we do actually see better macroeconomic indicators. Growth is slowly picking up, very slowly, but it is better this year than last year, and we forecast for 2017 to be even better. If you look at the state of the current accounts, for example, in the vast majority of emerging countries, they have been doing better. Fiscal deficits are actually also in check. So currency flexibility clearly has been very helpful for vast majority of emerging market countries, which was not really the case, 10, 20 years ago.
It's still on the issue of currency. Some of the currencies for the emerging markets are mixed. While some EM currencies tend to decouple from the movement of the oil prices, do you think that this decoupling is a temporary thing, or is emerging market currencies still connected to the oil prices?
Well, oil prices definitely have very strong influence on the performance of emerging market debt and currencies. As a whole, I think what we have now, obviously, the oil has been moving within a fairly tight range. I mean, we, for example, think that the oil will be between $40 and $60 a barrel. So within that range, as you're absolutely right, there's been some decoupling in performance of certain currencies from oil prices. I think if we have oil prices breaking away from this tight range, then we will see the correlation getting back in the currencies that are obviously exposed to oil, such as Russian ruble or even Malaysian ringgit, for that matter.
Some of the other commodities are actually rallying in terms of the prices. Gold, for instance, are rallying. Do you think they will have an impact on some EM currencies in the near term?
Of course, you know, some of the metals, for example, are very important for certain countries. For example, copper prices are extremely important for countries like Chile. So if we do see a sharp move in price, I would say, one way or the other, we do expect these currencies to follow to some extent, of course.
With the expected rate hike in the U.S. in December, do you think that these kind of decisions will affect investors in going into EM areas? Or do you think that that would have a separate kind of risk associated with it?
I think the key point about the possible rate hike in December is that the market is aware of the fact that it might happen, even though probably not 100% of it is priced in by the markets, but certainly we don't expect this to be a surprise. So on the scale of what we've had in 2013 during the taper tantrum episode. So by and large, we think that the reaction will be much more muted within emerging markets compared to 2013. We do think that for the currencies, it will probably be a little bit more negative, the rate hike in the U.S., obviously due to the short-term interest rates that do drive currencies. Whereas for bonds, it is actually not as clear-cut, because we do not expect longer-dated bonds, certainly in the U.S. or in emerging market, to sell off significantly.
How do you think the U.S. presidential elections is shaping up to affect the emerging markets? Do you think that much of the things have been priced in, as you mentioned earlier?
Well, we do have two very different candidates in the U.S. for the presidential elections. Indeed, Donald Trump has been very vocal, certainly against sort of global trade, more protectionist policies. Countries such as Mexico have been singled out by him, unfortunately. So the outcome, in our view, would be slightly different. Obviously, the odds of Donald Trump winning over the news over the past few days have decreased significantly. So I think if we do have Hillary winning the U.S. presidential elections, the market will take it as a positive, actually.
Now, Sergey, I am aware that you're a specialist in the EM markets, but could you give some comments on the news that Japanese Parliament has actually approved the extra spending package last night to put the Abenomics economic plan back on track? Do you think that Japan's stimulus is, all for naught, or is it actually trying to solve something?
Well, it's very difficult to know if they actually will achieve the results, what they're trying to do. But certainly, this sort of reinforces our message that even with the U.S. Fed potentially hiking rates, you do have other major central banks doing quite the opposite. Plus, the governments, as you said, approving sort of fiscal spending as well to actually improve the economic growth. And Japan is clearly a case in point here. We are having very slow growth in the developed markets. It is probably going to stay for a while, so we have more and more governments trying to do everything they can to actually improve that, both through the monetary policy, which is at this stage seems to be somewhat exhausted with the current level of rates that we have. And obviously the next logical step for these governments is to actually move into the more fiscal spending, as what we've seen in the case of Japan.
Final question, Sergey. With some safe haven currencies like the Japanese yen and US dollar, right now so much is ongoing in their countries respectively. Do you think that investors might have some break in terms of actually looking for some attractive emerging market currencies? If so, what kind of emerging market currencies are actually attractive to you?
Well, emerging market currencies, actually, it's all about high yield that they offer, and it's all about the valuation. So we did have, over the past 2 years, significant weakness in the majority of emerging market currencies. Arguably, some of them are very cheap at these levels. However, the nature of currencies is that they're volatile, and should, let's say, commodity prices or some political risks resurface, then it means that the currencies can weaken more. It is actually a very positive thing for these countries to have freely floating currencies. At this stage, we are constructive on several emerging market currencies. We like currencies such as Brazilian reais in Brazil, which is one of the highest yielding currency in the emerging market space. We also like Russian ruble, based on our view that oil should not really go down significantly below 40 in the near future. It does offer indeed very attractive carry. Even countries like Indonesia as well, in our view, are attractive with regards to the currency investments. And obviously, India has been one of the darlings of the emerging market world because it's been having very low volatility and actually significant yield on that currency.
Right, pleasure speaking to you. Have a good day ahead. That was Sergey Strigo, the head of emerging market debt and currency at Amundi.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!